Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
In a world where very few people embrace their global identity and seek to understand their neighbors, cross-cultural expert Tayo Roxon is on a mission to bridge this divide. Each week, he'll open your mind with insights from some of the global minds in the world. Get ready, take some notes, and learn how to be the best you that you can be.
Welcome everybody to another episode of As Told by Nomads, and today's guest is Donna Brown, and Donna Brown coaches seekers. That is remarkable people who design their life with purpose and passion. Donna runs an international coaching consultancy based in Milan, Italy, and Ottawa, Canada. Her methodology is an intertwining of contemplative practices, creative visualization, deep coaching, and brainstorming techniques. Amongst her clients are internationally renowned designers, spiritual mentors, and teachers, artists, and specialists in the food service industry, as well as many other industries. Welcome to the show, Donna.
Welcome, Ty. It's such a joy to be here.
Pleasure's mine. We've gotten to know each other a bit over the last few months, based on a mutual friend of ours. And it's been interesting seeing your journey and just learning about what you do through Facebook and various conversations we've had. So I'm very, very excited to have you on here. But as is customary with every guest, I always like them to start with their story. You know, your story is one that many people relate to, but because you have a TCK background. But I'm curious to know where you think it all started for you.
Wow. Okay. So it started on various levels. Let's put it that way. And sort of the more traditional level, I spent a lot of many years as a classical musician, and what came to the crunch of just committing to that for the rest of my life as sort of my main work, there was a part of me that just said, I think there's something else that you should be looking at. And so from Toronto, Canada, I picked up, you know, packed my bags and moved to Italy, and I had decided to work in fashion, but was also not willing to do another 4-year study to discover that I didn't really want to do that either. So I just went for it and got a job in the industry, and, you know, gradually worked my way up in as a designer of knitwear for some pretty big names, and then moved into designing things for the home textiles, like the fashion coordinator of a large home furnishings department store here. And while I was doing all that, I was exploring garden design and, editorial projects. I was on TV a lot. And as things evolved, like over the years, I was just invited, and I guess my curiosity and the opportunities led me to do lots and lots of different things. Lots of different things. And I had trouble putting them all together, and we were talking about this a little bit earlier, that it was before going live, is that I always felt guilty, you know, the imposter syndrome that we were talking about, because most of the jobs that I've done, I really hadn't studied for, or studied very little, or had very little preparation. So it was really up to me to go inwards to see if it was something that I was able to do. And feel that possibility within me, that ability to bring not just to do it, but to also bring a really, really good result. And so I would just go for it. As a TCK person, I would say that my biggest thing, I don't know that I'm technically a TCK because maybe the third culture is missing. I'm, you know, a Canadian, very English Canadian with a name like Donna Brown, living in Italy for over 35 years. But I would say that maybe the third culture is my spiritual journey. And that made a huge, huge difference to me. And Buddhist studies really opened my mind, because Buddhist is a philosophy and, you know, not a religion, or is also a philosophy and not just a religion, let's put it that way. And the concepts that really shifted my way of doing business and my way of showing up in the world were really related to my own self-awareness and my own spiritual path. So intention, motivation, service, offering, generosity, and all that kind of cool stuff.
And it's so interesting because, I mean, by definition, you are definitely a third culture kid. I mean, it's usually you know, your home culture, the culture that you go to, those cultures you go to, and the mix of all those, you know, differences. So I could be Nigerian and then my parents' culture and then the mix of whatever I tapped into as I lived in five different continents. So, you know, it's basically you being the minority everywhere you went. And with your story, I'm interested in that spiritual element. You talked about that being a big part of who you are. In fact, you defined it as potentially the third culture. When did that journey start for you?
That journey started for me, like, I guess like it does for a lot of people, usually in a moment of, or yeah, a long moment, let's put it that way, a period of personal difficulty and trial. And for years I had been saying, if I were anything, I'd be Buddhist, but I just kept saying it, but without doing anything. I literally went around saying that for probably one decade or more. And then I started meditating on my own, and a series of fortunate events set me, you know, on the path of meeting some very incredible spiritual teachers, some incredible lamas. But as I said, that to me, it shifts everything you do. So anybody who meditates, or anybody who is working on mindfulness or self-awareness, or just understanding who they are, really sort of underneath the surface, will understand what I mean, that it changes, you know, even how you drink a glass of water, or how you walk down the street, or how you say hello to people. So obviously it shows up in business, but the more I sort of looked into, let's say, the way things are rather than the way things appear, it really became apparent to me that we have a gross misunderstanding of what business actually is, and that it isn't serving us. And by that I mean, business really is an extension of ourselves and is a form of self-expression, and that we have been considering it and treating it as something very separate from ourselves hasn't really allowed us to flourish, I think, as much as we can. And I think global trends and people, you know, self-authoring and creating their own lives and their own lifestyles and their own ways of, let's call it, creating income or their livelihood, really is supporting this fact that that to be really happy and to look for meaning in what we're doing, we really should have to go inwards before we go outwards looking for that famous thing called ideal client.
Wow. Okay. So I'm seeing that part of your life, because it's definitely one that makes sense. And I told you remind me of, you know, this is like Oprah Super Soul Sunday, just listening to you talking. But the other thing that I found about you, despite me knowing that spirituality is a big part of who you are and it really guides a lot of what you do, is you have this concept where you say life is a runway. Can you explain?
Oh, actually, it isn't. It's so cool. Of course, we're all looking for purpose. And this is really around purpose. And I think that there's a gross misunderstanding about purpose as well, because we've been taught that it's this one thing with capital letters. And this one thing is usually a label. So I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm a, you know, somebody who's a volunteer, I work in nonprofit, or I'm a musician, I'm an artist, and all these labels. But the truth of the matter is that the way things line up for people, it doesn't actually work that way for most people. And because it doesn't work that way for most people, we tend to feel guilty, or like maybe we're not worth as much as the person who is, you know, the amazing musician who has found their, let's say, their groove, or this alignment of purpose and expression, because we're still sort of hunting around for ours. And I came to understand it as a way of, you know, showing up in the world and of relating to the world. But the story that you're referring to is really fun. I have a friend who channels, and I asked her, of course, in a moment of dark despair with tears and the whole thing, you know, what is my purpose? Why am I here? The usual stuff that people ask themselves, right, in various phases of their life. And the answer I got was perfect for, you know, it's perfect answer for everybody, I think, and that life is not a highway where you get on the on-ramp and you drive straight until you die. And that life is really a walk in the garden, and to consider, to open myself up to considering life in that way. And that as you walk through a garden, normally you'll be attracted by flowers and you'll go and see them and see their petals and smell, you know, their perfume, and maybe see the insects, the butterflies flying around, and then you'll be attracted by something else. And you'll go and listen to, you'll see a fountain. So you go and look at the fountain and feel the water and see the sunlight playing on the water. And then maybe after this time, it's been, you know, a sunny day, you've been walking for a while, you'll go see, you'll see a bench under a stand of oak trees, and you go and sit in the shade. And really that all these different moments are us exploring ourselves and ourselves in relationship to the world and the world itself. And as you allow that, then all of a sudden everything opens up, right? You can relax. I relax a lot more after that. It made me feel a lot better. I was really driven by this desire to find this, you know, this one thing, that once I found this one thing, things would click into place and everything would be so-called perfect, right? Because this is what we're, this is kind of the image that we have, right?
Yeah.
Of how things work. But it doesn't ever really work that way. We have moments of perfection, let's put it that way.
Yeah. No. It's you know, it's a fascinating concept, because I feel like if someone grasps what you just said, they will put less pressure on themselves whenever that perceived failure is. I feel like we have a wrong idea of what failure is, and failure a lot of times isn't necessarily you doing something and then not achieving the desired result. It's failure to not start. Failure to not move away from something that you know that's bad for you, and failure to not pursue whatever you feel like your purpose is, because we miss that important lesson and element that the journey does give us. You know, the journey tells us more than we ever could realize if we only take some time to be present and realize that. That's why I love The Alchemist. Is one of my favorite books, and you know, the main character Santiago, I don't know if you've read it, but
yeah,
he learns a lot as he goes through, you know, seeking that alchemy. And it's a very short read, but it's very, very profound in its lessons. So definitely understand that. So speaking of understanding, how do we get to the point where we then understand what it is that is underneath
our doing and our things? Okay. I don't know. So these are short answers. I don't know. But a longer answer is what this is. I can just share my experience. So
that there, yeah, I would love that.
So my experience was this, as I said, as I moved to all these different things like fashion designer and, you know, writing cookbooks or writing, creating, you know, working on TV formats and coaching, you know, a former Buddhist monk, or helping them create a virtual Dharma center, or coaching, you know, millionaires and entrepreneurs at various levels to create more impact with their business. It just really, it sounds very disjointed, right? It's like, okay, you've done a lot of things, but there, I couldn't really find that fil rouge, that thing that connects them all. And it really wasn't until I understood that as far as purpose goes, it's how I show up in the world, that I ended up doing the same thing for each client. And so it's how I do things and how I relate to the world and what I have to offer that was the same for everybody. And so that became my purpose. So my purpose is really to facilitate people in manifestation of their purpose, if that makes sense. So by being able to, as I said, I've mentioned before, and I'm pretty relatively public about it, that I'm intuitive, to not say more. So I really can understand and perceive what's going on and feel and see what's going on with a client, whether it's a company or an individual. And then from there, understand what it is that they could be and what they could become and their possibilities. And it's always interesting that it ends up being multiple income streams, even though it's not something I ever specifically look for. And then sharing this vision with them, you know, creating this vision and then sharing the vision with them and creating a blueprint and executing. So if you look at this process of discovery, vision, blueprint and execution, I've done that for every single client. Yeah. And so then I kind of sort of relax into this thing about really being a visionary and a mentor, and as that, then everything starts making sense. So when people are stuck with, you know, what is it that I do, or they have two or three things, there's always maybe, I would call it a quality of what they're doing that unifies everything. So for example, last week I was speaking to one person who was doing a form of research and a form of coaching, tutoring, and then also producing things, but really with her mom. She was in business with her mom, but the underlying activities that she did are sort of going beneath that is really this nurturing quality and helping people, and the studies that she was doing, a specific part of a type of research. So she was helping that whole process to flourish. She's helping these students flourish in their academic studies, and she was taking on a part of the business with her mother that really was what allowed the business to flourish. So she's this nurturing, caring person, and she was using different aspects of her other abilities to sort of as they intertwine to act in these different spheres that didn't make sense to her. And once we started talking about it in those terms, everything, people were generally relaxed and they smile. It's like, oh yeah, that's right, I am like that. And I think that's a really important, I hope that's helpful to your listeners, because I know that so many people do a lot of different things and they can't really find, you know, they're looking for this one thing, but maybe the one thing is being a nurturer or being a mentor or being a creator or being something larger than that. I hope that makes sense.
No, it does. It does. And, you know, speaking to you earlier, I know that this is, I don't know if it's loosely connected to it, but you have, you know, you talk about understanding what is underneath for us to advance, but there's also this concept of us being the content, not the container. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I would love to. So we did mention before, we were saying artist, musician, father, speaker,
right,
consultant, all these things. These are the containers that we put ourselves in. And so we are the content. And there's really, and so I think that one of the big things about titles and the reason people struggle with them so much is that how can a very short title reflect the muchness, let's put it that way, of who we are, of everything that we have to offer. So these job titles that we come up with are always feel like we're in a way that we're lying. And this is something that I would feel like I wasn't telling the truth, because like, that's not all I am. And I would never feel comfortable saying those. And I really think that, you know, elevator pitches are just really an acknowledgement that those titles are insufficient, but the elevator pitches themselves are also very preclusive. And so again, it really just, that's why so many people, I think you feel uncomfortable when you're listening to their elevator pitch, because it doesn't really, it can never really reflect who they are. I don't have an answer as to what to do instead of having an elevator pitch. I don't have one, by the way, so I'm not sure that that's a great solution. But as I said, all those things really is just getting back to giving yourself a label and a container rather than being the content. And I think that there's this great, and it leads people astray and makes people frustrated, and they start feeling a little bit disconnected maybe with their job or with the, whether they've created for themselves or not, by giving themselves this small title. And I have this story that I love about, well, I love it. That sounds, I guess, mean maybe, but I think it's a great story, and about Kodak, you know, and everybody knows what a Kodak moment is. And the ad agency that created that understood that the purpose, really, so the mission and the purpose of Kodak was to facilitate the visual documentation of the human experience.
Yeah. Wow.
So when you say it like that, yeah, it's like, wow. It's like, oh, you say, wow, that's the proof. It's like, whoa, that's a thing, right? And that has nothing to do with technology. It has nothing to do with markets. Has nothing to do with any of that stuff. So the fact that Kodak identified, they self-identified with the container, so film, what they were using to help that, they didn't understand that their real mission, their real purpose was the facilitation of the visual documentation of the human experience. If they had known that, like known that in their bones, they would still be at the forefront. They would have been excited about digital photography. They would have been excited about, I don't know, holograms. I have no idea. I'm not an expert on everything that's coming up, also in virtual reality and all that stuff, right? Yeah. But because they identified too strongly with, oh, we make film and we make print paper, but they didn't understand the purpose of making film and paper. Do you see what I'm saying? And that's how they got confused and lost and eventually, you know, ended up the way they ended up. So it's this, you know, when I invite people to stop thinking of themselves in those terms and try and think of what going underneath. Because when I said that definition of what I think their actual purpose was, the reaction of everybody is kind of like, wow, that's a beautiful thing. It's a big thing. And if you can find that about yourself, then everything you do is really just some form of expression of that. And it just makes it a lot more fun, a lot more interesting.
Well, let me ask you this. What is your content?
My content is, again, I'm a visionary and a mentor for people. So really my purpose is to help people understand their own mission and their own purpose, in that sense, in the going below, and understanding how they can make something that is even more them than they are now, or create a business or activity. I'd like to call it activity because not everybody had, let's say, a money-making business. Sometimes these are NGOs, sometimes they're spiritual activities. But really,
here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
How to come into the full expression of what it is they're meant to bring forth in the world. And yeah, and so by me doing that better, I help others do that better. And that kind of, I'm going to steal a little, a moment here to just say that's what I actually think an ideal client is for everybody. And it's really knowing yourself. No, it starts with you. It has to start with you. Your business is yours. It doesn't belong to your ideal client. So what makes you happy? What makes you feel fulfilled? You feel like you're expansive, I would say, growing. And really, when you understand, as I said, your purpose and how you're meant to show up in the world, the ideal client, your ideal client really is just the person or company that needs what you have to offer to do what they need to do in the world. So that sounds vague, but it's actually very precise. So once you know what you're supposed to do, then it's easier to look for the ideal client. And we're focusing so much on the external factors of who they are. And like we decide, oh, maybe these are the things I know how to do. I'm kind of good at this. I'm a lot good at that. I enjoy this. I enjoy that. So therefore my ideal client will be this person, that person or whatever. But I don't know that. And you're involved, I think, a little bit in the online space, and you'll see people saying, oh, I've changed my ideal client. That's not who I serve anymore. But it really is just a reflection of their lack of understanding of how they're meant to show up.
It's so basically, I mean, what I'm hearing is that you create business and spiritual alchemy. I think you've said that to me before, but that's essentially if, yeah, I was to put that into a few words, and you help them do that.
Yeah. Business is a spiritual practice. And by that, you know, people don't need to freak out and think that they have to have gongs and incense and everything in their business. However, by that, I mean that you need, even though kind of like them, but it's really this process of self-awareness. So the more I go inwards and the more I understand about myself and just, yeah, who I am. And I don't want to go into all that, but just sort of who I am, why I'm here, what I'm meant to be doing, and sort of what I understand as the nature of reality. Then of course it's going to shift your business and to how you show up with other people. And so, and by that, I mean, business is a spiritual practice. People don't need to go, you know, crazy bananas and thinking I'm starting a business cult or something. But it's really just that deep connection with yourself, and that everything you do, and because if you know that, if you know yourself and you honor yourself, you can't make business decisions that will burn you out, because you won't let yourself. You'll just say, that isn't for me. I'm just going to say no, or I'm going to walk away, or I'm not going to do that anymore. Or, you know, when it makes your choices easier. It makes your opportunities easier to choose. Like you get less distracted by things that are sort of off. I don't want to call them off purpose, might be the easiest, or out of alignment is another thing that people like to, you know, way of describing it. But also you'll be less distracted by the competition, because what you perceive as the competition, because everybody has their own path and their business is unique. And, you know, a lot of branding people will tell you this, but it's even deeper than what they're telling you. And so the deeper you can go about who you are and what you believe and how you're meant to be, then obviously everything about your business will change.
Oh, that's amazing. I love that. You know, so listening to you, I've heard you talk about this. You hinted at this, your intuitiveness, that's your difference. Mm. We usually have a segment at the end of the interviews where I ask people how they use their difference to make a difference. But I'm going to break the rules today, since I already know that that's essentially what your difference is. So this intuitive ability of yours, can you elaborate on that more? Because obviously that's quite the gift.
But we all have it, right? And our education system and a lot of cultures have not always honored that. I mean, maybe if you go further back, I think, yes, these were very respected gifts. And I think it's very interesting now that as more and more people come out, you see this all the time. Oh, I'm a web designer, but really I am a psychic and I, you know, channel readings, or people are coming out and saying what other things they have going on, and they're business tools. Like they're really, really precise business tools if you can use them. And I've just realized over the years, I was trying to figure out why was I always doing these creative jobs when I didn't consider myself like that, you know, sort of the mad scientist or the mad creator, like the sort of the Picasso type person, you know, flinging paint around. You know what I mean? I just always considered myself to have a very different creative process. And really it was this ability to just feel and see what's going on. And then I was always very good at it and have always been very good at trends, just because of that ability to just sort of really perceive what's happening and where things are shifting and where things could shift. So this has played a huge role. I mean, it took me a long time, an embarrassingly long time, to figure out that this was actually what was going on. And even though I've always, you know, I've always been full of ideas, and, you know, people call me the idea machine, and my kids hate going places with me because I'm always, you know, suggesting things to people, asking if, you know, if they have a store or a restaurant or whatever, have you thought of this, or have you ever thought of trying that? And they wish I would say nothing at all. But because I just get inundated with ideas and visions for people and this and feelings about the way things are. And as a musician, when I'm looking for a solution for things, and I don't know how other people, what happens to other people, and I've talked to more and more people about this, but then when I'm looking for a solution, and maybe you will have some sort of idea about how this works for you. If I'm looking for something and it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right. It's my body, right? You feel that something doesn't feel right. We all don't listen to our body enough. And when we do, things tend to work out better. But when that things fall into place, or I find the right answer or the right solution, whatever that is, whether it's a color or a shape or a product or a business model, there's kind of that relaxation, you know, when things are in tune or things feel like crystal clear or a bell's ringing, you know, that sort of sound of truth has a very specific ring to it. And it resonates in your body in a very specific way. So I use all of those tools to find my way to the right thing. And I kind of just, if it doesn't feel comfortable, I just don't give up until I find the thing that makes me feel good. And that's maybe a pretty vague description, but if you think about it in your own life, we'll decide when we're trying to decide where to go, even for dinner, like that doesn't feel good. That feels good. And then you decide. So it's something that we all do. It's just, I do it a lot more.
Yeah. I hear you. Okay. So someone's listening to you right now, you know, Donna, they're saying, you know, all this is great. This is fantastic. You talk about purpose. You talk about us understanding, you know, the content, not the container, but they're coming back to you and encountering, well, I'm multi-passionate, you know? I've got so many passions, I don't know how to really go underneath, because if I go underneath one and I go underneath another, what do you say to that person that's harping on that word multi-passionate?
So I think multi-passionate's a funny word, right? Because, you know, people like to make up fun words. And it's fun just because, and funny to me anyways, just because we all like more than one thing. And we're all like, maybe you love to bake and maybe you like a sport and your kids and maybe you're a graphic designer. Well, that you're already, we're all multi-passionate. So there isn't anybody that isn't multi-passionate. It's just some people decide they, okay. So to me, I think that my understanding of the use of the word multi-passionate is because they haven't understood underneath what is tying all those things together. So as I said that, you know, because I am a visionary and I'm a creative and I'm a mentor, everything I've done has been to mentor companies or individuals and create through creation and through a shared vision. So when you understand what it is that you do underneath all those things, I can promise you that there's something that connects them all. And it's very, quite often it can be very surprising. So some people, as I said, this person discovered that she really likes to nurture people and that this word flourishing came up in her description of things. And I said, do you notice how many times you've said that? So this is something that's very important to you. So it's the quality that you bring to these things. I'm sure that they all have them. They just haven't been able to figure out what it is yet. So there is hope. We can, they can call me, they can get in touch and we can figure it out. But what I love, as much as I love the visionary part of things, I also love when things take form and take shape in reality. So I think that as much as we're looking for the deeper meaning in what we do and why we do things, it's really interesting. And I think a lot of the fun starts is when there's that connection between our understanding of ourselves and then, you know, creating something or bringing something into the world, whether it's being a speaker or a consultant, a doctor or a mom or a gardener, it doesn't really matter what. I think that's exciting, sort of making things, having things take shape and take form.
I've been saying I've been multi-passionate from the beginning just because I've just had many of those things, and I feel like it's interesting the way the world has almost made it seem like if you don't focus on one thing and really, really become known for that, then you are sort of doing yourself a disservice. So I do appreciate your definition of maybe reframing the way we approach that word and basically just acknowledging that, yeah, everybody likes more than one thing. And when we growing up as a kid, you wanted to be many things. And you know, it's only as we grew older that we felt like we had to basically put ourselves in certain boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because we're the content, not the container, right?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, it all comes back to that. All comes back to being the content and not the container. So let's talk about some of the fun aspects of what you do. You do this thing where you're in Italy and you're in Canada. That's a dream for most people. A lot of people here on the podcast, they do identify with several cultures, but they do wonder how to build businesses across continents. You literally do that. So how did you open your business where it operates in both continents?
Yeah. Well, what I love about what I'm doing now and how I'm able to, through technology, reach out and create amazing co-collaborations is that I'm trying to make it a principle to organize something everywhere I go as much as possible. And that doesn't mean that I want to work all that. It's not that I'm, it's not from this point of view of, I have to work all the time or something. It's just that there are beautiful people everywhere. And I think that the human connection, as much as I love digital, and I love the online world, I also love human connection. And of course, we are social animals. We're meant to be, to congregate and to do things together and to see each other in person. So I love, I'm co-creating with different people that I've chosen either as clients or partners in other things in what I've called the blissed out business experience. And that really is to take the unique gifts of that person, coach them around their own business, and then create an event that is unique to us, something that only the two of us could put together, and then bringing that to their local community. And it allows them to insert themselves more into the fabric of their community rather than being only online. And it also, and that's fun. And then it's just interesting to see all the different realities and the different vibes of each city and each place. So it's really not even just Ottawa and Italy. It's really wherever I go. I mean, I've done some things in the States this summer and in other places in Canada. And Ottawa is really the house. It's in Quebec, actually. It's on the French side. It's a dedicated retreat space, so it's for deeper work, for either one-to-one or with small groups. But it's really just setting the intention and allowing yourself to imagine something. You know, what would it be like if? And it's easier than you think. You can start small. You can sometimes, some things stay small, some things get big. I think that people should just really, you know, to your listeners, I would say really just allow things to take one step at a time. So quite often we'll create this big vision of something, and if we can't do the full-blown version of it, we do nothing at all. And sometimes, you know, it started off with free workshops and talking about another initiative that I have about helping people to leverage their social media followings for social impact. But really just giving public talks and free workshops to other people who are going to maybe, let's say, another event, so almost like a pre-event, or just looking for the, and that's just in my specific case, but really just find the easiest way you can to do something that's similar to what you want to do. It doesn't have to be the full-blown version, and I think we get caught up in that. If I don't have all the pieces, all the moving parts, all the PR, all the everything, then you feel like you can't do anything at all, but that isn't really true. You just need to allow things to grow sometimes.
Yeah, no. No, I'm a big fan of you, and you know that already. So I love the fact that you do what you do, and you help people really just dig deeper than they normally would. And I think one of the conversations we had was you asked me a question, and you're like, nah, dig a little deeper. And I think a lot of us need that type of challenge in our lives where, you know, we become custom or used to just saying things that we feel like define us, but we forget that we are capable of actually digging deeper to really the core of where it all started. So that's what I hope people are gaining from this interview. And I hope that people do reach out to you based on that. One last
thing. I hope so too.
Oh, I'm certain. Espero. I hope. J'espère. This is before the last thing. What is your favorite city in the world? I forgot to ask you that. This is just.
Oh, wow. Is that a typical question? I forgot. No, I don't have a favorite city in the world. I'm really bad at that kind of thing. I think each place, because I love things, just I love life and exploring and things so much. I think every place has such, and it sounds like this platitude, but it isn't really. Every place has such an interesting vibe, and there's something unique about most cities. And right now I'm craving a lot of nature. I have been stuck in big cities for quite a while the last couple of years, and so right now I'm harking for nature, let's put it that way. I love Toronto, city that I come from. I have so little shout out there for Toronto. I mean, who doesn't love New York and Paris and, you know, Rome and all the big cities? They're great. But of course, you know, my heart is also in India and other places as well. So I'm just hoping to discover more places so I can add a new favorite city to my list. That's my goal.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, I don't know if you gave me quite the answer there, but it's all right.
No, I didn't. I switched around. It's like, nah, not answer that. Because I don't have a favorite place. Like, so it's maybe, depends what you feel like. You may have a favorite food, but would you want to eat that 3 times a day for the rest of your life? No. So the city is like, sometimes it's like, yeah, I would just love to be in Paris right now. Or, yeah, there are times when I just love being in Toronto, and I love being in Ottawa, and I love being in New York. And I was in Los Angeles, and I got to discover it a little bit more this time. And there was a lot that I really loved about it. So I don't know. And I'm in Vancouver right now as we're recording, and Vancouver's beautiful. You know, it's just really, everything is so special. So it's like, how do you choose? It's like, you know. How do you choose? Everything is so special.
Yeah, Canada is definitely a place I haven't visited, so I want to visit. So
no, well, you're invited. Yeah. Official invitation.
Gracias. All right. The question I had in mind was, you know, I'm a huge Harry Potter fan. Not everybody might be, but a lot of people know I'm quite obsessed. So when I came across your bio and you talked about seekers, I was thinking of one seeker in mind. And that was, you know, in Quidditch, there's a sport in Harry Potter, and that, you know, that's Harry's role as a seeker. So he plays that in the sport. But what do you mean by seeker? And those are the clients you say you work with. So I wanted you to define that, so anyone listening who defines themselves as a seeker can reach out to you.
Well, a Quidditch seeker would be cool because I do love Harry Potter. And yeah, that would be totally cool. But seeker, that's actually really quite similar in a way. People who are always look it. The word says it. They're looking for something. So the seeking is really my relationship with myself, my relationship with the world. What's next in the sense, not in the consumistic sort of way and the materialistic kind of way, but what's next is like, what else can I explore? What else can I learn? What else can I do? How else can I show up? What other changes can I make in the world? What other changes can I make with myself? Because that's where it all starts. So people who are constantly exploring life and themselves.
Yeah. Constantly exploring life and themselves. Well, if you're interested in that and you're looking for just that sense of gratitude and growth, definitely head over to DonnaBrown.com, right? That's correct.
And that is right.
Yeah. And she works offline, she works online, and you know, she's an unimaginable ray of light. You might have met a ray of light as you stepped out of your building because you saw the sun and you felt that on your body, but then imagine something 10 times exponentially better than that, and then you got Donna Brown. So Donna is someone that can instantly put a smile on your face, but I do encourage you all to check her out and check her website, and I appreciate her thoughts. It's very, very different, and it's boldly different. So thank you so much, Donna.
Oh, thank you so much. It's such a blessing to be here. Very grateful. Thank you.
Pleasure is mine. Well, ladies and gentlemen, till next time, use your difference to make a difference.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to reach out to Tayo and to use your difference to make a difference, head over to www.tayoroxon.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.